Hey guys, I'm Jeanette McCurdy, and you know me as Sam on iCarly. Ryan thought I played a dude named Tim on this television show on Nickelodeon. Yeah, Ryan's kind of like Ham. Ham makes me throw up. Here's Ryan.
So I decided to use that as my intro. I just threw that together the other day. This girl from Nickelodeon came into the station. KSES in Dallas is the station, if you're curious. And I had no idea who she was. Absolutely no idea. They do all these new artists will come in and do private shows for stations, especially in country. And she sang, and she was capable, and brought her in for liners. And she's just off the wall. She's like this 17-year-old on crank. And I asked her to say something stupid about something, and then I asked her to identify herself, and I had no idea the name of her character or the name of her show. So she said a nice little line. I turned it into that intro. I digress. Part two. My head is so filled with stuff. I've never been busier and more stressed out than I literally don't have a social life right now for like the last 2 weeks. I'm going to Vegas June 11th. Might not come back. Not positive yet. We'll see. There's a chance I'll move to Vegas. I've never in my life ever, even for a moment, thought I would consider even possibly thinking about moving to Vegas. And at this point, I think I'm going to move to Vegas. Now, I've just got tons of stuff happening, and I'm not going to go into any more detail than that. But to say that I apologize that this episode took longer than it should have to get posted. I did have a lot of very nice emails saying, hey, man, love your stuff, but where's the stupid episode? So here you go. It's getting posted a little over a month between episodes, and I don't like that. I try and do 3 to 4 weeks. So I will do better in the future, as I think things will settle down in the next couple weeks. June 11th, though, Vegas. I'll be playing in the series. Anyone want to come join me at the Rio? I will be staying there for five or six nights. Like, I've already booked my suite, but 5 or 6 nights at the Rio. I'll probably play 12 to 18 hours of poker a day. Do the math. I'm so excited. Ricky Rue is the guest. I do want to direct you. You know, at this point, I haven't put all the stuff on the show notes page, so just understand that there's a lot of stuff that he sent me. I'm going to post as much of it as humanly possible on the show notes page for this episode. So you might want to go there now. It might be a fun thing to be looking at, perusing, listening to off to the side. I don't know, however you do your listening habits. I'm assuming you only listen to one thing at once. But check it out. Show notes page, RyanOnTheRadio.com, Ricky Rue episode. I'll have more. Anything else I have to say, I'll say it at the end of part two.
101.3 KDWB's Woo Girl Weekend. Woo! Celebrating all things woo. The Oscars on TV. Woo! Big sale at the mall. Woo! Free tickets to see Katy Perry or Lady Gaga. Listen all across the weekend and express your woo. Woo! Grab your tickets and enjoy the show from 101.3. KDWB.
101.3. KDWB.
Love me, hate me, I got my tickets for free. All the boys and all the girls are begging to go and see Britney.
Your exclusive Britney tickets are here.
You gotta listen to win.
720, 820, 420, and 820.
Pinch me, wake me, I'm absolutely crazy. Britney.
Exclusively from 101.3 KDWB.
Give me concert tickets. Give me tickets. Give me concert tickets. Give me tickets. What if it were you with no money at all? If you want your own, just listen and call.
101.3 KDWB. Pays your bills.
Pays your bills.
We're gonna pay our bills. We're gonna pay our bills.
Your bills paid. Get us yours at KDWB.com. Keyword cash. Then get ready to have your bills paid. 5 times a day at 7, 9, 1, 4, and 7.
We pay your bills
now. 101.3 KDWB.
All right, and there it is. KDWB. It's Ricky Rue. And Ricky, how long have you been at KDWB now?
I think, 18, 19 months?
Yeah, and you're already making just a huge impact in the branding there, I have to say. It sounds awesome.
Thank you.
Now, Ricky Rue, obviously the guest. I've already mentioned that in the intro there. We heard some of his KDWB stuff, but you're a hugely creative dude. You do a lot of different things. So let me just kind of roadmap, because I wanted to make it clear to people that are tuning in. I go from kind of the mainly voiceover people to the mainly producer types, and then the people in the middle. With you, I know you do voice work, and you've got imaging station responsibilities. But we're going to get pretty technical in this episode. You ready for that, Ricky?
I'm not sure, but we'll find out. How about that?
Okay. Yeah, we'll find out. And then, so for those people that are, maybe less than interested in the technical production aspects of this stuff, I believe they will still find this enjoying. But I hope that we don't go over anyone's head. I mean, I know I won't, but I hope you don't.
Well, you know, what's funny is you're going to find out as we talk that I consider myself the poor man's imaging producer because I've always been unfortunate enough to have lackluster studios and not the most top-of-the-line gear. So I've always had to make do with what I was given, which what a lot of guys, I think, are, you know, they're in the same boat. They're given an Adobe rig that's maybe a couple years old or, you know, an older Pro Tool system or, even an old Mac that's just really hard to get what you want out of it. And I've always had that situation where I've never really had a great rig. So I just have to make do. And so a lot of what you'll get from me is, you know, I don't have this plugin, so here's how I recreate it as best I can, that kind of thing.
That's going to be really good then. I actually had a couple people write me about that, asking very specifically how you use certain plugs or how you find, you know, somebody doesn't have like the Waves Gold bundle, let's say, but they want to get that great L1 sound or something like that. But let's save that for a minute. Now you're the imaging producer at KDWB, KTLK is actually up there in the cities now, right?
Yes.
You're on KTLK FM.
That's true. Yeah, that's correct.
And I think most people are familiar with KDWB, you know, a very, very popular, successful, CHR. What is KTLK FM?
KTLK FM is an angry white guy, talk radio station. It's, Rush Limbaugh, Glenn Beck, Sean Hannity, and we have a local guy named Chris Baker does the morning show, and Jason Lewis, who is local. Actually, he's just now syndicated with Premiere. He does the evening show from 5 to 8. It's just your basic Fox News news talk.
Nice. So good for you. Well, you're into obviously radio imaging production. You're well known for that. I know you've been interviewed in a couple other publications of different sorts. I first heard your stuff years and years ago. And you've only gotten better, but you also are pretty creative musically. Would I be true in saying you're actually a songwriter, or do you stick to more of the remixing and the, you know, mashup and just sort of the repurposing of music?
If you had asked me that question maybe 5 years ago, I would say strictly remix and mashup. But now I'm really getting into songwriting, producing, and you know, as far not just only the track, also the lyrics as well.
And on your site, I wanted to give that out as we start here so that people can go surf around, rickyrue.com. You have I use the word simple, but just because it's an easy site to find, you know, there's not a ton happening, but people can easily sift through your stuff, learn about you, and hear and see some of the stuff you've done there.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry. I like it to be just, you know, every time I go to someone's website and there's all this flash stuff and everything, I'm like, give it to me now. I don't want to go through your cool graphics. I just want what you have. So I kind of make my website. It's just a simple iWeb template. It's nothing fancy. It's just here it is. And if you like it, great. Give me a call or an email. And if not, you know, then have fun. So
we're kind of touching on things I want to talk and more in depth about later, i.e. marketing and some of the stuff you're doing. But let's real quick kind of get to your beginning. You know, how did you get into radio? Where or how did you find your way behind a console for the first time? And just tell us that beginning story.
It started back in high school, actually. A good friend of mine got a position as a part-time DJ at a local radio station in Fort Myers, Florida. And I just hung out with him because he actually had a nightclub gig, and I didn't really care too much about radio. I was, you know, I'd always been interested in it, but I wanted to be a nightclub DJ, and I would hang out with him at his appearances. And I actually became a nightclub DJ. I was spinning and got pretty good, and I had a couple residencies in town. And eventually, I got the bug to actually, you know, want to be a DJ. And another friend of mine that worked at another radio station in town got me an audition. I went in and just I screamed on a tape for about 5 minutes because, you know, the nightclub jocks were talking, you know, it's like, hey, everybody, what's going on? Drink specials, blah, blah, blah. So I just did that over intros for 5 minutes. And I guess they needed someone pretty bad because I got the job. And then I worked my way up to a night guy. I was a night DJ, nighttime DJ for about a year and a half in Fort Myers, Florida. And along that time, I really got into production because I was starting to get tired of the little 12-year-olds calling every night and requesting this and this and this. And I love you. And no, you don't. You don't even know me. And then I just got really over that. And I really liked production. And I asked the production director at the time, I said, listen, I want to do all the tags. I just want to do the tags. And he was like, of course. You know how production guys are. That's the tags are like the enemy. Those dubs and tags. I said, I want to do them all. And I would actually produce the 10-second at the end. You know, I would put two different beds in there and try to put little effects in. And mind you, back when I started, this was at WXKB in Fort Myers. And we had two reel-to-reel machines, two cart decks, an RE20 with an EQ, no processing, and that was it. So I was doing all of this with the two reel-to-reels and cutting my fingers up with the extra long Q-tips and the razor blades and the blue tape, and that was fun.
Yeah. That's so you were a tape cutter then.
Oh, yeah. I started there, and then we eventually got Saw 32, and that was horrible. I wish we had the reel-to-reel still when we got Saw, because that thing was just really, really bad.
And yeah, I'm an agreeer of you, Ricky. Continue.
And then eventually we moved to different studios, and we got an Adobe system, I believe, and I just kept going on that, and eventually got a job at a production company that did imaging for several radio stations around the country, and they hired me as an editor, so I would just come in and edit the voice tracks down and get them assembled and situated for the big boys to come in and do their job, and I eventually kind of worked my way up into there, and in 1998, I got a call from Mike Kaplan in New Jersey at WJOK, which was The Point, 94.3 The Point. Said, I heard your stuff, someone sent it to me, and you want to come work for me? So I went to
Cool.
Jersey. Yeah.
So as far as the digital imaging production goes, about what year did you actually turn over 100% onto an actual computer making your stuff?
Probably 1997, I started. That was at the production studio. I was working on Pro Tools 3.
You might know more about Pro Tools than, I mean, I'm a later adapter of it. So I don't, you know, how early was Pro Tools being utilized by radio folk? Do you know?
That's an excellent question. I know I started back in 96, 97, and it was Pro Tools 3 at the time when it was the Sound Designer 2 files were being used, not WAV or AIFF. And if you wanted to tweak the audio on a file, you had to open up a separate program called Sound Designer, and that would you'd be able to tweak your audio there and then import it back into Pro Tools. And eventually they, you know, came out with 4, 5, 6, 7, and now we're on to 8 now. And it's just watching this this program grow is amazing. You can do just crazy things.
Have you been with it every version since 3?
Since 3, yes.
Can you tell me just because I haven't gotten too much into the history of this software. We won't spend too much time on it, but what were the most major jumps that you saw? Like was from 3 to 4 or 3X to 4 big or 4X to 5, etc.? What was the biggest advancement?
To be honest, it's kind of a blur to me, but I know some of the big features that I've really looked for are the waveforms have gotten so much better. I mean, they are so accurate, it's disgusting. The addition of MIDI into Pro Tools, and they've tweaked that ever since they first added it. I believe it was back in Pro Tools 5, I want to say. Don't quote me on that, but MIDI has come a long way now. I mean, I remember MIDI when I was just using a keyboard with a sound module. The Orbit is what I used to use, and now, you know, Pro Tools has these built-in sound modules and these sounds and these synths and drum machines, and you can control it with MIDI, and it's just the organization factor of where it keeps audio and how you can now search that audio. Just in the addition of, I think it was Pro Tools 7, they added a very cool new feature where it's like the workspace and project browsers where you can go in and sample your audio and hear what you're doing instead of having to do these key commands. And it's just really great. And there's so much about Pro Tools now. I'm still learning. I probably learn something new every other week. A friend of mine in Jersey actually just took a Pro Tools class, and I spoke with him as when he finished, and he's just telling me things that are blowing my mind. I'm like, I've been working on this since 1998, 96, and there's things that have been here since the beginning that I didn't even know about. So it's just, there's just so much to this program. It's really great.
Yeah. Wow. I'm going to go ahead and just stop the Pro Tools discussion because I know there are a lot of people, A, who don't like it, B, who just simply aren't interested in it. And also, you know, we could probably go for what, a few days on Pro Tools. Yeah.
And for the record, you know, I'm not a Pro Tools, you know, Hitler. It's like, if you don't like Pro Tools, then, you know, God bless you. You know, whatever works for you. I'm a big believer in, like, you know, whatever tool you choose to use, as long as it works for what you want, you know, as long as it does what you want it to do, then go for it. I mean, if that's Adobe, then have fun. If it's Saw, yeah, then, you know, go. If it's the Odyssey, I mean, I've heard Will Morgan do things on the Odyssey that I could not even begin to think about doing on Pro Tools. So whatever works, and go for it.
And to agree with that, I've had people contact me asking about, you know, like training ideas or tutorials or that kind of thing, and thinking they, maybe even from things I've said, that they have to be on Pro Tools. And I know very, very good producers, just like you said, that still work on the old cool edit and make amazing sounds come out of it. So
absolutely.
Let me, in fact, I'm going to try and insert, we're going to get into your setup, what you are actually using here in a bit, but I'm going to start with a listener question. And this is actually from Tom Cross down in the bottom of the world. He wanted to know about effects packages, plugins you're using, and your favorite, like specifically flangers, vocoders, distortions, filters, and those kinds of things. And I bring this up early because we're going to vamp into your studio setup and what you're actually using, but also because you intimated that maybe you don't have the best setup in the world, so it might be fun to hear what you're using in that realm.
Effects packages that I use, I predominantly for KDWB, it's all about Chase Cuts and Production Vault, really. Yeah, Chase Cuts is excellent. I use predominantly with Chase Cuts, I use the wipes category and the beds category. Those two are in every session that I do. I mean, you got to have a wipe and you got to have a bed. I'll get into his sweeper templates and promos from time to time. A lot of times I'll just grab them for an idea. But for the most part, it's just the effects. Production Vault, I use mainly for the instrumentals and the acapellas, to be honest. I mean, you get some great drops from acapellas of songs, you know, vocal drops for a sweeper, like, you know, you need a "here we go" or something like that, and you could find a lot of that great stuff in song acapellas, actually. And then instrumentals, of course, they are instrumental, no pun intended, for making extended intros, and of course the logos that I do. So that's what I use predominantly with my everyday KDWB imaging.
Real, on the Chase Cuts, I actually find that interesting because I don't have Chase anymore because I don't have a station that I can have it on. And I used to love actually a lot of different elements, but I would use the stager beats quite a bit to get some things started, and then simply the stagers, and then also the combos. Are you not into those categories of his stuff as much?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, I use them from time to time. The combos are really excellent. The stager beats are, of course, you know, great for short little intros for promos and sweepers.
Yeah.
You'll know if you hear a lot of if you listen to KDWB an unscoped, if you listen to a solid hour, you'll hear more dry elements than you will produce, because we're very, very tight. And you know, the phrase that's going around the world now, in a PPM world, you know, that,
yeah,
it's, I try to keep, you know, as much dry actually on the air as possible. That way the music actually really never stops. So, I don't really have too much of a use for a lot of that stuff, but when I do, I mean, that's where I turn to, the Chase Cuts material.
When you're trying to achieve that type of a very forward moving CHR sound, where you're utilizing intros and outros of songs, and you're getting those dry elements on there, do you find that it's up more to the jocks to make your imaging, or at least the production of the station, sound better? Or are you able to somehow keep that thing completely automated? I'm guessing because you have Prophet or something.
Yeah, we use Prophet, and it really is up to the jocks, with the exception of the Seacrest show, which I'm in control of seg editing that show together. So if you listen to Seacrest on KD, then it's airtight. But outside of that, we have Lucas, who is on from 1 until 6, and you know, he voice tracks a good amount of the early part of his show. And so, you know, he seg edits and makes sure everything's tight. And he's really good at getting what I do. If I'll do a half and half type of sweeper, where it starts off with maybe some beats in the first second and a half, and the rest of it is dry, he's good about making sure that song fits underneath just the right way.
Yeah, I was saying, that's my biggest problem that I have, for instance, is just getting these jocks to give a crap about the fact that you just played a dry sweeper and you didn't start the 23-second intro underneath it. and it drives me absolutely crazy. And so much of like what we do as imaging dudes is at the mercy of the potentially lazy on-air disc jockey.
Yeah, I've actually gotten pretty lucky with the jocks here at KD. They all pretty much get it, and they're all big radio geeks. So it's like, you know, let's nail the post, and they'll flip out some imaging to make sure it hits the post properly. And you know, they all pretty much get it here.
That's really cool. Now we're going to get into your entire setup. Both, I'm assuming you have some sort of a home studio.
I do, and my home studio I use strictly for home. I don't do any KD work at home.
Okay. That makes sense. Let me ask you this real quick. When you're at KDWB, do you find that you are allowed to and or have time to do outside stuff at that studio during the day when you're there?
I actually try not to. I like to stay pretty focused with what's going on at the radio station. If I do anything extracurricular, I'll do it maybe the first hour I'm there, or I'll stay an hour or two late. But I like to work at home because my system at home is better than what I have at work. So
we'll get into your plugs in a second. So, okay, tell me about the work studio then first. What do you have there?
I've got a new Mac Pro with the quad core, 2.26 gigahertz, you know, the big daddy. 6 gigs of RAM. I use the Waves Gold plugin, Pro Tools 8, and Reason. And that's it.
So yeah, I was going to play some of your stuff here in just a second. But you're using some of the Pro Tools instrument plugs that they've sent out with version, I believe they came with 8, right?
Yes, it's the Air company, the Advanced Instrument Research or whatever.
In fact, you know what? Let's fire this off. I wanted to I think it kind of fits here, and I wanted to get one of these logos on, and you and this is a good time for me to say now that you have provided 3 of these Pro Tools sessions for people to check out, right? I can post these and people can see exactly what you've done here, and it has all the work parts built in.
Yeah, everything should be there. Well, you loaded it up and it was fine, right? So it should all be there, ready to go, provided you have the Pro Tools 8 and the Air plugins for those synths that I provided.
Yeah, so what's cool is, you have to have Pro Tools 8, but you don't have to have like the Waves package or some other VSTs that don't come standard with it. So if you're interested, they are posted on the show notes section of the Ricky Rue podcast interview. Definitely check it out. If you have Pro Tools 8, open it up, check it out. Now, in fact, I'm gonna skip this one. I'm gonna put this one back forward so people can hear. I wish that everyone was looking at the session right now. Hold on a sec. I'm gonna lean over here. On this session, all I see, the point I guess I'm kind of really trying to make is that anybody, as long as your ear is just good enough to make what are relatively simple notes, you know, in the MIDI structure here, in the MIDI layout, anybody can really do what you've done here. I mean, I don't mean to discount what you've done, but am I kind of right?
No, I'm right along with you. That's my point exactly. It's like these are people say, you know, that must have taken you hours. And I'm like, you know, if you're gonna play the Bedrock logo now, that took me, honestly, probably 20 minutes tops from start to finish. So,
okay, here we go. 20 minutes start to finish. This is Ricky, by the way, the horns. She got that. All right, so without seeing that session, I dare somebody to tell me exactly what you did.
Yeah, what's me and what's the Bedrock song?
Yeah, so, I mean, I'm going to play now from just a little bit into that, and I want to make sure that people pick up on why that's so important to, like, the subtlety of the branding of KDWB, and then I'm going to fire off an entire demo of these things. But let's hear it one more time just from the middle. Right here. All right. So hopefully people hear that. But what you're doing here now is you've taken the... are you using an instrumental version of the song and mixing it into the regular version?
Yes, I use an instrumental, and then I take a just a part that, you know, is pretty much stripped down, be it just drums or maybe just a little bit of the rhythm section, and then I'll use that as my intro most times. I mean, every song is different, but on this particular one, I just used a piece of the middle of the track, and I found the BPM. found out which key the song is in, and then scoured my my plugin there, my my synth plugin, and found a very, very close version of the same horn section that they used on that track.
Yeah, so the thing that probably took you the longest was finding the instrument and then just kind of plucking it out on MIDI there, but actually mixing it into the song. I mean, that's nothing. You know, you can look at this and you can see that, wow, that's pretty easy to do.
Yeah, it's very simple.
Okay, let's hear some more of these. These are the KDWB logo. This is the KDWB logo demo from Ricky Roo. I played only a sample of those right there. So if you want to hear more of that, go to the show notes page, RyanOnTheRadio.com. Just look at the Ricky Roo show notes page, and you can hear the entire audio there. And if anything, there might be people that are listening that have the skills already. And I mean, I'm not a very musical guy at all, and so people might be much more musical than me. But hopefully it just gives you kind of a creative idea on how to do that with whatever format you're in. I mean, I imagine, you know, just about any format, as long as your station has a pretty well-known jingle or logo, you can kind of get that going, right?
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Cool. Finish off talking about, okay, the KDWB studio didn't sound all that bad to me, to be totally honest. You seem to have a pretty good machine. You've got good Pro Tools. You've got Waves. Is there any deficiencies with it that you find a problem
actually
working in?
No, not since the new Mac Pro is actually relatively new. I was I waited 12 months into the job before I started, you know, complaining, listen, guys, I need a new rig. I need a new rig. I need a new rig. Please, 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 please. When I got there, it was an old G5 Mac with, like, you know, a gig and a half, 2 gigs of RAM, and it, you know, it would constantly die on me. Pro Tools would just, you know, would just sputter and quit, and it was very frustrating for the first year that I was there. But I wanted to make sure I put a good year in before I said, listen, I've earned it. Let's go. You know, buy me a new rig.
Yeah.
So I talked it up, and luckily I've got really cool engineers, and I brought them an A, B, and C scenario. I said, you know, rig A would be optimum, B is okay, and C is, I'd really not like C, but, you know, if we have to, if, you know, if you guys are, you know, I know how Clear Channel is, it's money, 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 money. But they actually gave me rig A, so I was very, very excited about it. So, I mean, you know, the rig is good. Obviously, there's better rigs out there. I could have a TDM of the HD Pro Tools where I just have the M-Box 2 now, so I'm limited there. But yeah, I mean, you're right. It's a good rig.
So you seem to like your home studio a little better though. So what have you done at home? What have you put in there, and why do you like it so much?
A lot of what I have at home I keep secret, but I'll give you the basics. I mean, I've got the brand new 27-inch i7 iMac, which is just gorgeous. I want to have sex with it. I've got the latest Pro Tools. I've got the M-Box. Of course, all the plugins that come with it. My big toy that I would suggest to anyone that's into music, and even you know, even with imaging, if you want to, you know, be creative and just try new things with your imaging, I suggest a plugin called Goliath from Quantum Leap. It's just loaded with sounds and drums and synths and everything, and Timbaland uses it, by the way. So It's some really cool stuff.
Without going too much, I guess, but you know, as far as being easy to use, or how exactly do you use it? And you know, you like it obviously because it has a lot of stuff that comes with it. But what makes it better than, I don't know, Omnisphere? I can't even think of what you'd compare it to. But Transfuser, maybe.
You know, I don't know. I don't know if I would say it's better. We get back to that whole Pro Tools Adobe thing where whatever works for you works. But why I like it, it's just loaded. It's got a million different sounds. It's 36 gigs, just you know, of just wonderful, wonderful, rich, well-recorded sounds. They're not just, you know, like a lot of problems with Reason. I love Reason. It's a great program, but a lot of the sounds that you get with Reason are pretty flat, and you end up having to do a lot of post-production compression and limiting and EQ with the sounds, whereas with the Goliath plugin, the sound catalog, I mean, they are just, they're great right out of the box. Very little to do, and if you're, you know, I don't use it so much for radio, but I make a lot of my own beds, and it's nice to be able to make a bed quickly and get it, you know. I make beds specifically for myself, so it's nice to be able to just make it, put it in a folder, and it's ready to go for, you know, radio or what have you.
Something like Goliath, or is this something that you can do with it, but can you literally make everything happen at the exact same, you know, you got your good beats and then maybe some sort of a synth sound and maybe a crunchy guitar you add in, does that all happen at the same time in Goliath, or are you kind of doing everything separately still?
I keep everything separate in tracks. It operates in Pro Tools much the same way that that the, you know, the synths that come with the advanced instrument research plugins are, where you can put a synth on one track, you put your drum machine on another track, so on and so forth. And that's how I build my sessions that way. You can combine some things, but I find I really like to have control over each and every note and you know, an element.
Yeah, understand. Anything about your studio? Now, you're doing a little bit of voice work. I mean, I don't want to offend you, but you still are very, I mean, your bread and butter still very much is in production, right?
Absolutely. My voice work is simply, it's cool. It's good to have. I mean, I don't make any money at it. It's just, I like to do it. It's fun. And I really just started doing it as to help out a friend. And then it just kind of, I picked up somebody else and, you know, some people seem to like me and, you know, I don't know why, but God bless them. You know, it's a nice little extra, you know, green in the pocket every month. But I'm definitely not looking to become a voice talent per se.
Yeah. Did you spend any cash on like a mic chain in the studio there at home?
No, not at all. I do all my voice work at the radio station with the my studio has a Dragonfly blue microphone. Or Blue Dragonfly. I don't even know the name. That's how crazy about mics I am, you know.
Yeah, no, I can tell. Cool. Let's round out part one with that. Just to preview part two, I've got a lot more listener questions coming in. We're getting a little more technical on the way you produce what you do and the way your brain works about what you're producing as well.
Okay.
But more with Ricky Roo coming up part two.